funniest, most piddling little families with only 5 or 6 children do with themselves.
They're instant priorities. You know you have to protect them and provide for them.
I hate all of you!
You've given me a massive headache.
It doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes an army.
The hospital made us take it home.
We'll look back on moments like these as the happiest in our lives.
It Takes a Parent with Betsy Hart is brought to you by Matt's Cookies, the Doctors of NeuroHealth, and Christina Steele Dermatology. You can meet Betsy's sponsors at betsysblog.com.
Missed an opportunity here. I'm looking at the news stories with Nadja Solomon leaving the hospital with more than the octuplets she recently gave birth to. She's walking out with a publicist, and multiple television and book offers. Her 8 new babies are joining 6 other children, all under age 7, in the 33-year-old single mother's home. This is in the Chicago Sun-Times, and of course it talks a lot about the other big families like John and Kate Plus 8, which is such a cute show. And actually, she was just in the Chicago area promoting their new book. The Duggars, of course, with their huge family. But I don't know, maybe as a single mother, I don't know, maybe at age 45 I should go out and have artificial insemination and have 8 babies. And then I would have an even dozen. I could call it Cheaper by the Dozen. And then I could have an updated show Cheaper by the Dozen, but with a single mom and artificial insemination. So I don't know about you. I know it's been a few weeks now, but I continue to be appalled at the story of these 8 new babies joining 6 in a single mother's home. And she lives with her mother. She cannot afford this. And I know some of my pro-life friends disagree with me on this. And I'm not saying that, you know, these babies, they are gifts from God. They are precious. We do want to take care of them. We do want to value them. That none of that goes to what I'm saying here, which is, who is the doctor? And I know we're finding out more all the time that okayed this, with this woman having 6 already, being a single mom, being artificially inseminated, and having 8 more. And I do think it was absolutely irresponsible. Yes, the babies are here now. I frankly think she should give them up for adoption so that they can find good homes. Doesn't certainly appear she's going to do that, because now she's got a big book deal and television and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, good for her. Maybe this will bring in some money she needs to take care of these babies. But, you know, according to the Chicago Sun-Times in the showcase section last week, new cash crop, kids, parents of multiples turn baby pictures into big ratings. And you know what? Some of these shows are cute. These families are great. You know, they're providing for themselves, all that kind of stuff. And that's fine. I'm just saying, you know what? Maybe I need to go out and have an additional, you know, 6 or 8 babies. And then I could be, you know, dating with a dozen or something like that. That would be a great idea for a show. Dating with a dozen. I got it. Hey, that would be really cool. I think I'm on to something here. But what I'm actually quite ticked about is the Nadja Solomon with the 8 new babies in addition to the 6 she was already mothering as a single parent. And I think it was irresponsible. And I think the doctors involved in this should be held accountable. And as that whole story continues to unfold, I'm sure they will be. But I don't know. In the meantime, I guess if that's a new cash crop, maybe that's something I need to think about doing. Don't worry. I am just kidding. Friends, you're listening to It Takes a Parent, AIM 1160 WYLL. I'm so glad you're here. I hope you had a wonderful Valentine's with your sweetheart last night. I hope you're having a great week. And I don't know, maybe if some of you are having some trouble with your Valentine's, maybe it might just come down to learning to say you're sorry. What is it with a simple, straightforward apology? Why is that so hard? You know, I've talked about that on the show before, and I've just come across some more insights into this. So it's kind of helping me with my own kids. And no, I'm not, you know, thinking of the recent embarrassed Illinois governor and all that. But as I watched my children, and they kind of tore into each other one morning in particular, more than other mornings in particular, recently, I wondered again, you know, why is a simple, I really messed up, there's no excuse, I'm so sorry, so difficult. You know, we seem to always want to add the but at the end of it, right? I see this in my kids all the time. I'm sorry I borrowed your shirt without asking, but you took mine the other day. I'm sorry I used your colored pencils and, you know, broke the red one and didn't put them back. But as my littlest one might put it recently, and I think I mentioned this on the show before, I'm sorry I stole your Halloween candy, but I ate all mine. I love that. She really cracks me up. Actually, I don't love it. She's a conniver. She's a dangerous one. But in any event, moving right along. You know, and I've noticed these defensive shields in my children's apologies. So, and I'd mentioned one of my New Year's resolutions earlier in the year was to really monitor that, to really help my children learn to say, I'm sorry, and learn to say, what does that mean when they mess up? And to be able to say, I messed up, I did something wrong, and I need to say I'm sorry. And if somebody else messed up and did something wrong, when that person comes to you, to be somebody who can accept that apology and not say, well, you know, my temptation is always, yeah, you really did mess up. You really screwed up, and I'm really ticked about it. Let me tell you more about how you screwed up. Instead of, you know what, I really accept that apology. And I think I've learned, hopefully, at my advanced age, to be able to go to somebody and just say, you know what, I so blew it. I messed up, and it's really not going to happen again, and I am really sorry. So I was thinking about all this and kind of checking in with myself on my New Year's resolution and kind of watching my kids and being a little bit better about monitoring that. Are they able, when they do mess up, to apologize? And my kids have been a little bit better, in particular, I think, with me and coming to me and saying, Mom, I'm just really sorry. And I think I've hopefully gotten a little bit better with just saying, you know, honey, I really appreciate that and I forgive you. You might need to be disciplined anyway, but I really, you know, I really appreciate the apology. So I was thinking about this as I came across the words. I actually was listening to a sermon, and one of the things that the minister spoke to was, you know, it's more than just saying I'm sorry, and we get a lot of sort of I'm sorry if I offended you, I'm sorry if I hurt you, that kind of thing, that the difference between that and sort of a non-apology is to be able to go one step further and to say I was wrong. Do you remember oh, it was Fonzie on Happy Days. He actually, you know, there was this funny routine where he couldn't quite get the words that I was wrong. So he would say I was, you know, because of course Fonzie was never wrong. But the rest of us are. And I have now gone back to my kids and sort of tweaked my little New Year's resolution a little bit. And now I try to encourage my kids to say, not just I'm sorry, because that can be like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you took it the wrong way. I'm sorry if you didn't like what I did. I'm sorry if you were offended. But to go one step further and to say, I'm sorry because I was wrong. And you know what? Sometimes that comes out, I'm sorry because I was blah, 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 blah. Makes me think of Fonzie. But it's a different orientation in our whole household. Not just I'm sorry, but you know what? I was wrong. And there's not a whole lot of ways to finesse that. So I think that's a very healthy orientation. So I'm kind of tweaking that New Year's resolution a little bit, and we'll see if for the rest of February and into the rest of the year, if we can do even a little bit better on that with that orientation. Gee, Mom, or when I have to say to my kids, which I think they kind of enjoy, when I say to them, I'm sorry, and I was really wrong, and I need to ask you to forgive me. And parents, I think that's one of the best things we can do to our kids is when we do wrong them, when we do mess up, just let them know we're sinners in need of a Savior, too. So, friends, you are listening to It Takes a Parent. This is Betsy Hart, AM 1160 WYLL. And after the break, we are going to come back and we get to talk to one of the co-founders of my very favorite series, which is VeggieTales. I love the VeggieTales, the books, the CDs, the DVDs. So much great stuff on there. So much great insight into God's truth, but these little vegetables. So I'm very excited. They've got a new DVD coming out, and we get to talk to the founder of that great series. And in the meantime, just a couple other things in the heartbeat section of the show. You know, I came across something, and I don't know if, I'm sure nobody else picked this up. This is just me. It's just my weird rant. It's just stuff I care about. But I found in the Sun-Times last week, there was an article about a couple and they're getting married, and the church where they're to get married, and now it had a the ceiling collapsed at one point, and then much later it was actually, you know, it burned down. And this is where this couple was to be married, I guess, actually, on Valentine's Day. So I don't know what they ended up doing or where they ended up having their wedding. But they were to be married at Holy Name Cathedral on Valentine's Day, and that obviously, you know, couldn't happen. But the thing that really struck me is that this just tells you where our culture is. And it names the couple and so and so and so and so were awakened by helicopters and fire engine sirens Wednesday morning in their River North condo on Dearborn Lyons, a bartender and his fiance, et cetera, et cetera. They'd done interviews and they were awakened from their apartment and what are they going to do about their marriage ceremony? And the first cataclysm with the church happened a year ago and they didn't know what to do and thought I was going to be back up and running on time. And then this next catastrophe happened. And it just struck me. Here's this couple openly living together and they're not married and nobody would comment on that. I mean, we wouldn't even think about that in our culture. There's no shame involved on part of these young people. They're just openly posing in their names and their photos, and it's all right here. And they're just openly living together. And of course they are, because that's where our culture is. We don't care. We just don't care. 50 years ago, if they'd gone to interview the couple and they'd been living together, oh, my goodness, they'd be so embarrassed. They wouldn't want their photos. They wouldn't want their parents to find out. What a different day and age. Now, good for them. They're getting married. God bless them. Or they've got married on Valentine's Day if it all went through. Great for them. But it just amazes me in our culture, and it's not like premarital sex didn't happen 50 years ago. It certainly did, but there was and maybe not even at a lesser rate than it does now, I don't know, but there was a sheepishness about it and a shamelessness about it, and there was just a sense of, oh, you know that great quote, hypocrisy is the honor that vice pays to virtue. I love that. There was just a sense of, let's keep that stuff secret. And now we're just out and about saying, yeah, we're living together. Here's our photo. Here's our names. Here's who we are. And it's absolutely no big deal. And you know what? I think it is a big deal. And I kind of think they should be a little bit embarrassed, but they're not. So what do I know? Anyway, I do know that when we come back after the break, we are talking with the VeggieTales creators, and I am so excited. So come back with us. You're listening to It Takes a Parent, AM 1160 WYLL. This is Betsy Hart.
If you love to travel, we've got a great deal for you. Go to 1160travel.com for some of the best travel rates online. Check out 1160travel.com, all courtesy of Chicago's Christian Talk, AM 1160, WYLL.
Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois, each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's cookies continue to have those same natural ingredients, flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. The Chicago Tribune selected Matt's cookies as the first place winner in a blind taste test of commercially baked chocolate chip cookies. They said Matt's cookies had lots of real chocolate and a soft texture that some equated with being most like homemade. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocery shelf in just about every grocery store. Matt's Cookies, the homemade-style store-bought cookies, now available in chocolate chip pecan, peanut butter with chocolate chips, cranberry walnut, and fig bars. Wow, Matt's Cookies. Get some today.
Eat lunch with Chuck and Charles. Swindoll and Stanley, weekdays noon to 1, here on AM 1160.
Thank you for the amazing job you've done in moving my first book forward in the publishing process.
Ludi Cotton Darnell's book, Ashley, Alex, and the Mystery Twins, was published with Zulon Press.
This is an exciting time for me.
Have you got a book for a Christian audience? Want to control the publishing process? Your free publishing guide is at ChristianPublishing.com.
I thank the Lord that Zulon Press has made it possible.
Visit Zulon Press for your free publishing guide at ChristianPublishing.com.
Columnist and commentator Betsy Hart sees parents who are tyrannized by experts, anxious and harried by their children to the point of misery, and she faults today's permissive parenting culture. In a critically acclaimed book, It Takes a Parent, how the culture of pushover parenting is hurting our kids and what to do about it, Betsy Hart, mother of four, presents a smart, refreshingly honest, and provocative argument for the crucial role of parents who lead rather than follow. Bill Bennett says of It Takes a Parent, I highly recommend it. Buy your signed copy now at betsysblog.com. That's Betsy's blog.
Do you ever look in the mirror and think that maybe while you work hard to exercise and be in shape, your face isn't reflecting how you feel inside? Acclaimed facial cosmetic surgeon Dr. Wafi Khanna and the folks at Skinsational Med Spa in Hinsdale can help. You can look more on the outside like you feel on the inside, vibrant, healthy, younger. You know about Botox for frown lines and Restylane to plump lips and facial folds, but they also offer photo rejuvenation. With no downtime, it removes most brown and red spots and improves dull complexions. There's microdermabrasion and pixel resurfacing to treat large pores and rough skin texture. But what's really incredible about all this? Just a little bit of investment on the outside can help you to better reflect your inner beauty and wellness. Now, I'm not going to give away any of my own secrets. I'm just going to tell you that I love the folks at Skinsational Med Spa. Call them now at 630-887-8180. That's 630-887-8180 or visit hannahmd.com.
Chicago's Christian Talk includes Hope in the Night with June Hunt. Learn more at WILL.com and listen weekday evenings at 11.
Evenings in Chicago, WILL.
Okay, Larry, it's time for the theme song.
Yeah, Bob. What do I do?
Let's see. I know. You play the guitar.
Bob, I don't have any hands.
Oh, you're right. Well, okay, well, you play this.
I don't want to play that. I'll look silly.
Oh, come on. It'll be fun.
Nope. Not gonna do it.
It's for the kids.
Oh, okay. But they better not laugh.
All right. Better get on out there.
If you like to talk to tomatoes, if a squash can make you smile, if you like to waltz with potatoes, up and down the produce aisle.
Have we got a show for you?
I love VeggieTales, and I'm so excited that we get to welcome to It Takes a Parent, the co-creator of VeggieTales and the voice of loved Larry the Cucumber, Mike, now Rocky. Welcome to It Takes a Parent.
Hi, Betsy. Thank you very much.
Hey,
thanks for having me on.
So glad to have you on the show. So you've been the big part of the Big Idea Productions, which is where this all comes from since its inception back in 1993.
That's right.
And my understanding is you've created, you've written, you've directed all of those fun, silly songs, like the Silly Songs with Larry segments, several of the VeggieTales episodes, and, of course, the feature films, both of which I really enjoy with my kids, Jonah and the Pirates Who Don't Do Anything. So I'm so excited to have you on the air.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, tell me a little bit. I know you've got some new things out, and we're excited about there's a new one. A DVD I was just watching about Abraham.
Uh-huh, that's right, Abe and the Amazing Promise.
Right, okay. Tell me a little bit, because I know like so many parents, even so many non-Christian parents, we've loved this stuff with our kids. I first started listening to it right when my kids were very little. My oldest was born in 94. And it's just been an amazing tool to learn scriptural truths, to learn truths about the Bible, things I can talk with my kids about. What made you come up with a couple of vegetables, these Christian vegetables, who can sing songs? You got to help me out here.
Well, vegetables were sort of, necessity became the mother of invention with the vegetables. Phil Vischer, Phil does the voice for Bob the Tomato, and I do the voice for Larry the Cucumber. And he and I actually met back in a small Christian college.
Which one?
Called Crown College at the
okay.
time. It's up in the Minneapolis area. And we met in a student ministry. Both of us grown up, I was from Colorado, he was from Chicago, you know, had grown up doing, you know, puppetry and drama and that sort of thing. And we met on this puppet team, which was one of the student ministries that we could go out for. And we just had a great time performing and doing our own writing and just had a great creative collaboration. Phil actually wanted to go into filmmaking, and I was on my way to becoming a missionary pediatrician.
Oh, my, okay.
And so, but.
So you naturally turned to vegetables.
So I naturally turned to vegetables. Yeah, that's
how
exactly.
How could anybody miss that?
How could I miss it? But we ended up, I ended up moving to Chicago actually to do my pre-med and landed at a job at the same place Phil was working at. It was a video post-production house. And this was the late 80s. Computer animation was just kind of coming out. And, you know, we'd take, you know, we'd for a weekend, we'd grab a camera and we'd, you know, shoot these funny videos and, you know, kind of harkening back to our puppeting days,
uh-huh.
just doing all these fun things. And we thought, wow, it'd be great to kind of do our own show with some of this new technology that's coming out. And it eventually led to, well, let's make a story for kids. Well, great, our show for kids. How do you do that? with animation, this new computer animation that's coming out all the, at the time, it's just so difficult to do limbs and, you know, all of these things. So how about, you know, really simple characters that we could
bounce around? Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, and Phil actually was working with a candy bar at one point, and his wife walked by and she said,
you're not using that?
Yeah,
we're not encouraging kids to eat candy bars. Oh, of course it takes a woman.
Moms will not appreciate kids learning healthy values from candy bars.
No, okay, this is a classic example of it doesn't take a parent. It takes a mother.
It takes a mother, yes. It was a mother's wisdom. And, you know, and of course, and then, you know, going into it, and then Phil actually created Larry the Cucumber. He modeled Larry the Cucumber. And, you know, I voiced Larry, and then he created, you know, Bob the Tomato, which is sort of, you know, a complementary shape and color.
Okay.
And voiced Bob, and it just sort of took off from there. But it was really just being able to infuse our own personalities into those characters and then tell stories with these simple characters, you know, a lot of it was just because of the necessity of having it be simple.
That's a great story. Cool. I did not know that. I just thought these guys came up with this, you know, crazy vegetable scenario.
Well, you know, it was pretty crazy. You know, we the point was we wanted to be able to convey biblical values, biblical lessons, and really fun and entertaining stories. But as we were trying to raise funds for the show, of course, you know, when you tell somebody that you want to tell Bible stories using vegetables, some pretty weird looks. But, you know, the story we always got back was, well, you know, just make it, and, you know, it sounds kind of interesting, just make it, you know, and we'll see how we feel about it. And so we were able to finish the first show in 1993.
And which one was that?
That's Where's God When I'm Scared.
Okay, I remember watching that one with my kids when they were just itty bitty.
Just really, yeah, that was our first. That's 15 years ago, and put together enough fun.
Do the voice from there. Do that one.
Do the voice of Larry.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's see. Everybody's got a water buffalo. Yours is fast, but mine is.
That's a very first silly song.
Very good.
But so we cobbled together enough funds and enough time and, you know, enough energy to make that first show. And actually, we're selling it mail order. We took out some ads and some Christian parenting magazines.
Now, where did those funds come from? Just your own? Did you have a couple people who believed in you, or?
Yeah, you know, it was our own time and our own money. Phil had also gotten some money from his parents and then from a couple in his Bible study as some seed money. And then we did a deal with a guy who actually bought Christian media in the U.S. and translated it into Arabic and showed it in the Mideast.
Oh, my gosh.
As a ministry
You're
tool.
Kidding.
So, yeah, so it was all these sort of kind of things that were cobbled together and that allowed us to buy the first computer for the first show. Phil started animating on it. I was coming in on nights and weekends because I kept my day job, you know, to help, you know.
Very smart, very wise.
And then ended up hiring a couple kids just right out of art school because at a certain point Phil realized that he wasn't going to be able to finish the animation with just, you know, us working on it.
Hmm.
And Kurt Heineke, who was the music director at our church, was you know, helping out with the music at the time.
And which church was that? Because I think it was in the Chicago area, right?
Yeah, it was Park Community Church.
Okay, that's right. Okay,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, in Chicago.
Great church. Yeah, I have some good friends who go there.
Oh, yeah. It's a great church. And a lot of you know, what ended up going into VeggieTales came out of that church, and a lot of the voices, you know, we still use were friends of ours from the
front. Really?
Oh, yeah. Dad Asparagus and Scooter the Carrot and Laura the Carrot. You know, they were all friends of ours at Park.
Fun.
So, you know, cobbled together that first show and sold it, you know, to 500 people who had ordered it, you know, through mail order, and, you know, didn't even come close. I mean, it was a very limited budget, but those orders didn't even come close to paying for the show. And, but one of the orders came from a record label in Nashville, which is where we are now. We're here in the Nashville area.
Okay.
And, you know, they signed us up to a multi-show deal and, you know, did advances for us. And so it was, and it still took a number of years for it to build because it was a very, you know, grassroots word of mouth, and you know, it wasn't until, you know, the late 90s that, you know, VeggieTales really began to take off.
Okay, but when it took off, it really took off. It became a phenomenon.
It really did. You know, I think, you know,
and did that stun you? Did you sort of think, well, this will be nice for a few moms and dads, and they'll enjoy this, or did you think, we've really got something here? I mean, what was your gut reaction to what we were doing?
Well, you know, I've got to say, you know, from a visionary standpoint, you know, Phil was definitely the entrepreneur, and he had the vision to say, okay, you know, I think you know, this the ability to tell stories and to influence culture and to, you know, affect kids, you know, is just, you know, something that's really important. And for me, you know, I enjoyed that too. I thought, oh, that'd be great. And I always had time. I always had fun, you know, when I was doing puppetry, when I was, you know, entertaining kids that way. I love that. But, you know, God had, at the time thought God had something else in mind for me to go into medicine. Mm-hmm. So I was just sort of passing through in a way. But when I caught that vision and really got connected with it, you know, realizing the importance that, yeah, you know, story has such a powerful impact on kids' lives. And for me, you know, personally making that first show, it really was in many ways enough for me to say, oh, wow, we made a great little show that taught a great little lesson.
Okay.
And, you know, and it was such a huge goal just to do that, you know, and not really knowing what would come after that. Would we be able to afford? We hoped that we'd be able to tell another one, but we didn't know. So it was very, you know, for me, very surprising to see, you know, that it really did catch on. And people
and did it
just,
ever. And then yeah. Everybody's sitting around thinking, how come I didn't think about the vegetables? You know,
yeah,
why didn't
idea.
I come up with the vegetables? I could have done that. I could have done a vegetable. No, I didn't think of it. You did, which is where I'm so happy about that, because I'll tell you, my kids have just loved. We've seen every Veggie Tale, everything. I mean, we've seen it. I have four kids. They've all really loved it. Now, what happened before? We're gonna go to a break. We're gonna come back. We're gonna talk about your current projects, and we're gonna touch on, you know, you've gotten a little bit of criticism for watering down the message, and we're gonna, you know, see how you respond to that. But what happened with the whole medical career? Where did that end?
Well, you know, it's funny because I finished my pre-med. And I had applied.
At University of Illinois, Chicago, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
UIC. Yep. I was there. And I had applied with the Peace Corps, and I was going to go teach biology in Africa for 2 years. And I got my acceptance letter from Peace Corps. And, you know, I was working in post-production to pay my way through college. And Phil and I were talking about VeggieTales, and we had done a little promo for it. And right before we ended up starting on the first show, you know, we got the funding secured to do the first show. And at the same time that I got my acceptance letter from Peace Corps to go, and so I really had that, it was just that decision just right in front of my face. Okay, do I do this or do I do this? Mm-hmm. And I decided, you know, I just prayed about it and talked to a lot of people that I knew about, okay, well, you know, what, you know, do you think my gifts are and where I should be? And decided that, you know, this is the path I should follow.
Well, you know what? We're really, really glad that you went with the vegetables. So, Mike Nowrocki, stay with us, and we're going to come back, talk about all kinds of stuff going on with VeggieTales and some new projects you have coming up, and we're excited you're here on It Takes a Parent. Stay with us.
Get answers to the questions you've been afraid to ask.
Ask the Pastor with Pastor Gregory Dickow.
Weekday evenings from 5 to 6 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
Friends, you know how important physical fitness is, not just to your physical, but to your emotional health and well-being. So then how is your New Year's resolution to get or stay fit going for you? Well, mine is off to a great start thanks to Elite Fitness in Western Springs. Conveniently located in the western suburbs, Elite Fitness offers state-of-the-art weights and cardio and weightlifting machines, along with great personal training. Now with their new expanded facilities, there's room for all your fitness needs. But what I love most are the classes. Elite offers a wide range of spin, Pilates, strong, boxing, total body fitness classes, and more, and their instructors are great. For the first time in my life, I'm regularly going to fitness classes several times a week. I'm having fun, I'm in better shape than ever, and when I take a class in the morning, I have a sense of added well-being that lasts throughout the day. Hey, maybe I'll see you there. Join now or find out more at ElitefitnessWS.com. That's ElitefitnessWS.com.
Columnist and commentator Betsy Hart sees parents who are tyrannized by experts, anxious and harried by their children to the point of misery, and she faults today's permissive parenting culture. In a critically acclaimed book, It Takes a Parent, How the Culture of Pushover Parenting is Hurting Our Kids and What to Do About It, Betsy Hart, mother of four, presents a smart, refreshingly honest, and provocative argument for the crucial role of parents who lead rather than follow. Bill Bennett says of It Takes a Parent, I highly recommend it. Buy your signed copy now at BetsysBlog.com. That's BetsysBlog.com.
If you own your own business and want to let people know about it, then advertise it on this show. It Takes a Parent reaches thousands of moms and dads all over the Chicagoland area. Nationally syndicated columnist, author, and radio show host, Betsy Hart, can tell everyone about your product or business on her show. Let Betsy's advertising team of experts come out to meet you for a free consultation. Introductory rates available for a limited time. Call 847-472-8942. 847-472-8942. That's 847-472-8942.
If you love to travel, we've got a great deal for you. Go to 1160travel.com for some of the best travel rates online. Check out 1160travel.com. All courtesy of Chicago's Christian Talk, AM 1160, WYLL.
That song just makes me laugh every time I hear it. I don't know why. It's just maybe because I can picture my kids goofing around with it, or I picture the vegetables. I don't know. It just makes me giggle. So, friends, we're back on It Takes a Parent. This is Betsy Hart, and I have the pleasure of talking to Mike Naraki, one of the founders, co-creators of the whole wonderful VeggieTales phenomena. And we're excited he went into vegetables and not into medicine. That's all I can say. So we're back now. You know what? You've had some interesting things happen. Tell me about your first feature film, which was Jonah. Then the second one was Pirates Who Don't Do Anything. And somewhere along the way here, you've had some other investors, is my understanding, and some people getting involved with the projects. And I've heard some criticism. I don't agree with it, but I've heard it that, oh, they're kind of watering down the Christian message in some of their most recent projects. It's more God, less Jesus, that kind of stuff. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, yeah, I would disagree with that too. You know, one of the lines that we drew in the sand a long time ago was we didn't want to depict Jesus as a vegetable. We just felt we're pretty irreverent with vegetables, but never wanted to go that far.
Ooh, that's interesting. Okay, I hadn't really thought of it that way. Okay.
Yeah, and so even from the early days, we, you know, would hear people say, well, why don't you know you do more New Testament stories? And you know, we do a lot of Old Testament stories. Mm. And in fact, you know, we've done the Easter story, we've done the Christmas story, we've retold a couple of parables, but just that, you know, that idea of depicting Jesus as a vegetable, that's just a place that we never wanted to go.
Interesting, okay.
And so, but all along, we've wanted to maintain a biblical worldview with any story that we told, with the assumption that there's a God who made us and who loves us and who wants a relationship with us. And Bob and Larry come on at the end of every they do a countertop, you know, they open the show and they end mm-hmm. the show on a countertop
yeah.
and remind kids that God made them special and he loves them very much. But as we approach every lesson, whether it's a lesson in obeying your parents or telling the truth or being thankful, we want to approach that from a biblical worldview, from that assumption.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, we'll retell a Bible story. We'll take a piece of classic literature and kind of spin it, you know, differently. We'll do a kind of a spoof on a popular movie genre or a TV episode or something like that. So it's a bunch of different types of stories that we've told over the years. And every once in a while, we'll go through a point where we'll do, you know, in a 2-year period, we'll do 2 or 3 Bible stories, and then we'll go another year and, you know, maybe only have 1 Bible story. So we've in our 15 years of existence, we've kind of heard that over and over again in waves of, oh, well, they're not telling the type of stories that they used to, or, you know, look what they're doing now. But in fact, you know, I feel we've been very consistent in saying, you know, we're telling stories from a biblical mm-hmm. worldview with that understanding that there's a God who made us and who loves us and who wants a relationship with us. So, so with Jonah, which was a Bible story, our first
okay.
feature film, it was a retelling of the story of Jonah out of the Bible, you know, about compassion and mercy, and it was, and the language was very explicit in saying, you know, this is what it says in the Bible, and this is how, you know, God called Jonah into this, and this is what this is saying about the character of God and how he wants us to be with others. And with the pirates who don't do anything, it was more of an allegorical story, but I think every bit as biblically world-viewed, just to say God calls us into adventure and equips us with what we need to heed that call.
Yeah.
And ultimately, he's the one in charge. He knows us. He knows our lives, and he calls us into this. And it's you know, our responsibility to respond to that and to step into what God calls us into.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it occurs to me, and I know I've talked about this before on the show, that I would put it, all truth is God's truth.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
For instance, and I've mentioned this a couple times, and people are always surprised at the truth of this, but it does happen to be the case that about a quarter of the Proverbs came from ancient Egyptian pagan literature.
Hmm.
And that really shouldn't surprise anybody because that's God's truth.
Sure.
And it's everywhere. It's even in the hearts of people who don't know there's a God.
Yes.
Because he puts his imprint there. Now, they're going to have to give testimony to that, and they're going to have, you know, face judgment on that, and all that kind of stuff is all true.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, God's hand is on the heart of all of us. So when we find truth,
yeah,
it's a reflection of God wherever we find it. And so I think in a production like this, it is meant to be fun. It is meant to be lighthearted. It's not meant to be worship on Sunday mornings, where I think there should absolutely be, make it clear, we're sinners in need of a Savior.
Right.
This is meant to be a fun thing that reflects different aspects of God's truth.
Yeah.
And so I'm not in the, I, you know, kind of dismiss that criticism when I've heard it over the years for similar reasons. That it's taking, yeah, aspects of God and presenting them in a way that's fun and lighthearted. It's not pretending to be Lord's Day worship. And that's okay.
Right, right. Yeah, and you don't, you know, and you don't necessarily need to be very explicit in your language as you're conveying, you know, a principle or a truth. And sometimes it's very helpful to be that. And especially when you're dealing with young children, you know, to just kind of get down on a knee and say, "Okay, this is what this means, and you know, this is the story, and this is what it says in the Bible in this chapter and verse." And most of the time we do that with VeggieTales, but there have been times when we have been more allegorical with things. But really, in every story that we tell, just trying to hold that lesson up to the light of Scripture and say, is this consistent with a biblical view on this topic?
And a biblical view of who we are and how we're built.
Right, exactly.
So that's what, yeah, I've really just so enjoyed your stuff. Now, you know, and I've got four kids, and the oldest is 14, and the youngest is 7, so we've been enjoying it forever. Now, do your kids always want you to do the voices?
They do around their friends, you know.
Oh, okay, because you're cool. You're
that's
so
right,
cool.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
But at home, you know, by themselves, they're like, "Dad, knock it off."
Okay, okay.
But it's funny. My kids, I have two kids. One, I have an 11-year-old daughter and a 7-year-old son. And when they were both younger, I could actually get away with, you know, a separation somehow in their mind between Dad and Larry.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so I could do a Larry, and they weren't talking to Dad, they were talking to Larry. But I don't remember what age they actually, you know, figured it out. But you
okay,
know,
they actually kind of caught on.
It was fun
on
to milk it while I could.
Yeah, you'd be like sort of the parent who works at Disney World.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Really
exactly.
Cool. Yeah,
exactly.
No, I follow. Okay, so now some of your newer things is particularly you've got a new DVD coming out on Abraham.
Uh-huh.
And I really liked it. I had just, you know, popped it in a few days ago and was watching it. Really thought it kind of got to kind of the biblical truth that, you know, they really had to trust God. I mean, it was not, you know, they were faced with some big promises.
Yeah.
And you did it in a way that I thought was very fun. And they were faced with having to trust God to keep some big promises.
Yeah, and just that whole idea of, you know, what is patience, you know, and, you know, is it, and really, you know, when it comes to Abraham and the biblical story and really the biblical worldview of patience and even sort of the, you know, the fruit of the spirit of patience is this idea that, yes, it's about trusting that God is going to do what he says he's going to do, and that it will come to fruition. And so we can trust in that, we can be patient in that and know that will happen. And it's funny, you know, the story of Abraham in the Bible is mm-hmm. very PG-13. And so
Yeah, with some R overtone.
There you go. And so that was the challenge, you know, to say, okay, let's you know, make this in a way that's going to be, you know, good for four-year-olds.
Yeah.
And just pull out the main points that are really going to say, okay, yeah, this is, you know, Abraham and Sarah, you know, waited for Isaac, and this is what they went through and you know, in that story.
Okay, yeah. We don't have to talk a whole lot about Hagar initially. All the stuff that was going on there. It was kind of crazy.
Initially, we had some jokes about that, but, you know, they got weeded out along the way.
Yeah, yeah. Probably not a bad idea for that age group. That's Abe and the Amazing Promise DVD, and that's just about to come out. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. That comes out this Saturday
okay.
at Christian bookstores, and then next Tuesday in the general stores everywhere.
Okay. And so how often, then, are you coming out with the new DVDs?
Well, we do about 2 or 3 new DVD releases every year. Last year, actually, we only did one new DVD release because we had the movie come out.
The Pirates movie, right?
The Pirates, uh-huh. Yeah. That came out at the beginning of the year in January, and then later it released on video. But in a normal year, we'll do about 2 or 3 45-minute video releases.
Okay. And then what do you do when you're sort of thinking, okay, what's the next one going to be? I mean, what are you looking for, whether you're going to do an allegory or something that is overtly biblical based? What's your thinking that goes into the next one? Do you have them spaced out like for 3 years from now as to what you're going to be doing?
Yeah, you know, we work about as far out as we've ever worked is about a year and a half.
Okay.
And the ideas come from, you know, the motivation for the ideas comes from a lot of different sources, whether, you know, it's something that we're experiencing, you know, as parents. You know, the very first show, Where's God When I'm Scared, Phil's daughter at the time was just having trouble, you know, with fear of the dark and going to sleep. And, and that's how
so my my kids could come up with some ideas, like, where's God when my mother's yelling at me? Yeah. Where's God when my mother says, that's it! Get out of here!
And there's, just as a parent, I mean, there's so many, you know, things that you come across with your children saying, oh, you know, I wish I had, you know, some tool to be able to help reinforce this lesson that I'm trying to teach.
Right.
I've done that since, you know, we've done a VeggieTales video, and even, you know, it hasn't been a real conscious thing that I say, okay, well, I want to make this for my child so later on I can teach him this principle, but I've used it, you know, about, you know, Larry Boy and the Rumor Weed, you know, about lying, and said, do you remember, you know, if there's, you know, experiencing an incident with my child about lying, I can point back to the Larry Boy episode, and you said, do you remember when this happened and what happened there, and they'll connect with that story. They'll remember what the character went through and how they dealt with it. And it just becomes a great teaching tool as a parent myself.
Talk about a personal object lesson.
Exactly.
Did you ever say knock it off, or you're going to be the subject of the next Larry video?
You better watch yourself.
Yeah. Because I got to tell you, I do that with my newspaper column. I write a weekly newspaper column, the parenting columns for the Sun-Times here in Chicago, and it's syndicated. And I will sometimes say to my kids, knock it off, or you will be the subject of next week's column. But you know what? My kids are such hams; they're happy about that.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna get ink, Mom.
Yeah, exactly. They'll sort of say, "Oh, well, are you gonna use my name?" You know, because if you're gonna write about me, can you use my name, Mom? So somehow that just—I don't know—it sort of backfires.
Oh
in my
yeah,
house,
yeah,
but...
yeah. Yeah, they love the notoriety.
Yeah.
I brought my son to camp last year, and he did not hesitate at all to let his counselor know that his dad was Larry the Cucumber. So
yeah,
you know, he pulls it out whenever it's convenient.
You know what? They're just little sinners in need of a savior.
That's right.
All right, we're gonna come right back. We get to have a few more minutes with Mike Naraki, creator of VeggieTales. Lots of good new DVDs coming out, and all kinds of fun stuff. And we will be back in just a moment on It Takes a Parent. So do not go away.
Jay Sekulow talks about the issues of the day from a Christian perspective on Jay Sekulow Live, weekday mornings at 11 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
Do you know that a huge percentage of illnesses are because of stress? I believe it. Look, I used to think a massage was a rare luxury to be enjoyed only on a vacation or for a special occasion, but no more. Not since I've been going to Massage Envy in Western Springs. Now, massage is an affordable, regular part of my wellness program. Massage Envy of Western Springs will show you how consistent massage can lower blood pressure and stress, improve your circulation, and make you feel oh so good. And in these tough times, you need something to affordably feel good about. Massage Envy is open late, so you can go after the kids are in bed, or you can walk in anytime. Your first massage is only $49, and a membership at one Massage Envy is good at them all. My Massage Envy in Western Springs is a little oasis for me. And for this single mom of four, it's not a luxury, it's a necessity. Call 708-784-ENVY. That's 708-784-ENVY to book your first massage.
You're writing a Christian book and you want it published. You also know old-fashioned publishers reject thousands of manuscripts each year. Want your book in print and on Amazon? Make it happen. Take control and publish yourself with 21st Century Christian Publishing at Zulon Press. Learn more with your free guide to Christian publishing. Visit ChristianPublishing.com. ChristianPublishing.com. Publishing is fast, easy, and affordable with Zulon Press. A division of Salem Communications, the same great people who bring you this nifty radio station.
Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois, each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's cookies continue to have those same natural ingredients, flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. The Chicago Tribune selected Matt's Cookies as the first place winner in a blind taste test of commercially baked chocolate chip cookies. They said Matt's Cookies had lots of real chocolate and a soft texture that some equated with being most like homemade. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocery shelf in just about every grocery store. Matt's Cookies, the homemade-style store-bought cookies, now available in chocolate chip pecan, peanut butter with chocolate chips, cranberry, walnut, and fig bars. Wow, Matt's Cookies. Get some today.
Columnist and commentator Betsy Hart sees parents who are tyrannized by experts, anxious and harried by their children to the point of misery, and she faults today's permissive parenting culture. In her critically acclaimed book, It Takes a Parent, How the Culture of Pushover Parenting is Hurting Our Kids and What to Do About It, Betsy Hart, mother of four, presents a smart, refreshingly honest and provocative argument for the crucial role of parents who lead rather than follow. Bill Bennett says of It Takes a Parent, I highly recommend it. Buy your signed copy now at betsysblog.com. That's BetsysBlog.com.
AM 1160.
I just bounce along. Every time I hear that song, I just sort of, start bouncing like I'm one of the tomatoes or something like that. So we are back, friends, on It Takes a Parent with Mike Naraki, one of the co-founders of the fabulous VeggieTales phenomenon. If you're a parent, and I got to tell you, a lot of my friends who aren't Christians, they love this stuff just as much as I do. They just love the whole VeggieTales series, just lots of great morality stories. If you're not a Christian, and if you are, you just see, you know, God's hand at work, and we're so thrilled to have you on the air with us. So, Mike, tell me how the technology has changed since you started doing this. I mean, when you first started doing it, you had vegetables because you needed something without arms or legs,
right?
And you couldn't have a chocolate bar because your co-creator's wife said no chocolate bars.
That's right.
So, how has the technology changed in the year since you've been doing this, we know how it's changed. How does that affect what you're doing?
Well, you know, it's funny because the assumption would be that, you know, the more technology changes, the easier everything will get. But in fact, the more you can do, so, you know, the harder it gets. And you just have to measure, you know, how elaborate the worlds are you create and how elaborate the characters are. You know, if you go back and watch early episodes, you know, just visually they've advanced so much just in you know, technology and in art, you know, as we've learned how to, you know, be better artists. And, you know, a lot of people have come alongside us and worked with us that are really, really fantastic artists. But, you know, we've kept the characters the same. I mean, they're really basically the same characters, and I think they have a charm. And we've developed, you know, the rules of the vegetable kingdom and about picking things up and all that sort of thing. And we've introduced characters with limbs and
we've got the limbs in, but no chocolate bars. No chocolate bars.
No chocolate bars. But as of yet, the veggies have not grown limbs themselves. We're able to do more elaborate locations and sets and environments. But we still have to keep the vegetables feeling, you know, just consistent with that world, the world that they're in. So it becomes much easier to do certain types of things, but then other new things that you hadn't been able to do before and can do, you're able to do that. And so, you know, things on a difficulty level, you know, remain about the same.
Well, tell me a little bit then about the characters. Like, how did you sort of think this is how Larry's going to be? And what developed that? Is that a reflection of you and your partner? Is it stuff you've seen in your kids?
Well, yeah, you know, Bob and Larry are very much Phil and I. Phil has got a lot of Bob the Tomato in him, just in terms of, you know, he's a tomato with a mission. This is what he's going to do. And Larry, Larry, there's a lot of Larry in me. And it just from us being friends for so long and you know, doing a lot of writing together and puppetry together and a lot of ad lib, just sort of in those personalities, just really lent themselves well, you know, to these characters. And so for me, Larry's always been very natural and very easy to do the same thing with Phil and Bob. And a lot of the other characters, you know, that, you know, Jean-Claude and Philippe Pete, you know, Phil and I do those voices, Jimmy and Jerry Gord, but, you know, that's both of us doing those voices, you know, the scallions. Phil does like probably, you know, a dozen or so voices. I do about a half a dozen.
Okay.
But, you know, with every character, I mean, we were both Monty Python fans. So,
it
never hurt to throw on a British accent and then you've got an automatic character.
And then you're just kind of rolling on the floor laughing anyway. It's always hilarious, you know?
But, you know, and then we have Oscar the Polish Caterer. And so just all these different characters that, you know, as we've been writing stories over the years, we'll have a need for a new character. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, either, okay, well, I can do that voice, or, you know, let's cast and find somebody else to do this voice.
Or you maybe meet somebody and you sort of think, oh, that would be a great character. Whether or not you use their voice, you think, oh,
exactly.
that character trait is something that I want to use.
Exactly, yeah, those things that I think, you know, probably, you know, you as a writer realize this too, those things that you can find from real life that you really connect with are things that are very interesting to people, and, you know, we try to take those and incorporate those into
Yeah, like the four short people in my house who are often the subject of my columns.
That's right.
Now, tell me about the VeggieTales Bible, because I think that's very intriguing to me. This is a new thing.
Yeah, this is the first
and
time we've
done. And it's a full-length Bible?
Yeah, it's full-length NIV Bible.
Really?
Yeah.
Bob and Larry voices? What's going on there?
Well, you know, they sort of pop up in and out in different, you know, like different little teaching segments. And then we have, you know, throughout the Bible, there's sort of almost like graphic novel versions of the Bible stories that
Okay, so this
done.
Is a DVD, not a CD.
Oh, no, this is a print Bible.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So it's a full NIV Bible. So if you've ever seen like a teen-themed Bible.
Oh, I thought you were maybe also going to do an audio version. Okay.
Oh,
maybe,
no.
Maybe
no,
down
yeah.
the road. All
yeah,
right.
this is just a NIV Bible that's sort of VeggieTales themed. And, you know, we've done, you know, a number of Bible stories over the years. And so inserted within the Bible are sort of the graphic novel representations of those Bible stories, you know, throughout the Bible. But it's the Bible. It's the enemy.
Yeah, I actually wonder, you know, I guess I sort of raced ahead and thought those might be voices that kids would really listen to actually have the Bible read. So just something to think about.
Yeah,
something
to think about that, yeah.
You know, because I find with my kids it's a little bit easier than for me to read the Bible, for us to listen to a good recording of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wonder if for real young kids, if just straight reading and the Larry and Bob, oh, okay, whatever. You've got enough on your plate for now. We won't do that to you, too. Yeah, all right. So what are some of the other stuff? What are some of the big vision you have? I mean, you've done so much with this, and it's distributed in what? How many languages? How many different countries around the world? I mean, it's...
Oh, you know, a lot, you know, I know of, you know, English and Spanish and German, Italian, Portuguese, you know, I've seen it, you know, the Japanese version of the hairbrush song is awesome, but it's really, it's just amazing, you know, to see it go out and, you know, and come back translated. It's unbelievable. And, you know, God's just done so much with VeggieTales and, you know, it's so much beyond what we ever thought would happen initially. I mean, we really felt like, you know, telling stories is such a powerful thing for kids, a great opportunity to help parents pass on biblical values to their kids. You know, and, mm-hmm. and so in many ways, we just want to keep telling stories and just, you know, concentrate on good storytelling and, you know, one at a time. You know, we've got, you know, two or three episodes coming out this year, and, you know, I'm working on Minnesota Cuke and the Search for Noah's Umbrella right now.
Minnesota
Cuke and the Search for
okay.
Noah's Umbrella.
Excellent.
It's a, you know, Indiana Jones parody, and we did a Minnesota Cuke a number of years ago in the Search for Samson's Hairbrush. you know, just working on, you know, story at a time and just really concentrating on the lesson, on, you know, an entertaining story with that's engaging, that has great music. And, you know, we just hope that if we can continue to tell engaging stories and touching kids' lives and, you know, telling meaningful stories that are valuable for parents, you know, we hope to have an audience and an impact over a long time.
Now, when you did the feature film, let's not say Jonah, but jump ahead to the most recent one, which was The Pirates Who Don't Do Anything. And who was the studio that produced that?
Well, we actually produced
okay.
it. Universal
okay,
did the distribution.
Okay, I should uh-huh. distribution. I don't have my Hollywood lingo down. But then did they give you a hard time at all about religious content? Did they kind of stay out of your way? What was Hollywood's reaction to that?
You know, they completely stayed out of our way. And, you know, they actually, you know, were very aware that, you know, we were faith-based. Our audience is largely faith-based. And they left that completely up to us to tell the type of story that we felt would be meaningful to our audience. And, you know, it's interesting. With
kind of
Jonah,
refreshing to hear, yeah.
Yeah, you know, with Jonah, when we made that film, you know, back in, we started it in the late 90s, you know, there wasn't a studio out there that would touch that with a 10-foot pole. You know, you're telling a Bible story, you know, using vegetables. Nobody would want to do that. We ended up self-financing it.
Interesting.
And we ended up, you know, and then we finally did a deal with Artisan, which was an independent distributor. But, you know, none of the major studios would do that. But, you know, Jonah came out and then, you know, in a much bigger, you know, bigger scale, Passion of the Christ and then Chronicles of Narnia.
Sure.
And then the Hollywood studios, you know, kind of perked up and said, well, wait a minute,
there's
a
money,
pretty big audience.
Yeah, there's money yeah. to be made if we're nice to families and if we're nice to religious people,
yeah.
that can actually produce a buck, too. Yeah,
yeah,
I've talked to other folks in Hollywood who are behind the scenes and producers and so forth, and I've had them on the air, and they've said there's been a sea change in
yeah.
the last decade, and I'm so glad that you've apparently benefited from that. So. So no regrets about not going finishing medical school?
No regrets. You
All
know,
right.
I really, you know, am thankful to have been a part of this, and you know, I just, you know, pray that God continues to use me and to use us at Big Idea to tell stories that are going to point kids and families towards God.
Well, we're thankful you're there. We're thankful you went with vegetables instead of doctoring. Mike Naroth from Big Idea Productions, the new DVD out this weekend, Abe and the Amazing Promise, and you're going to want to get it. Mike, thanks for joining us. To all of you listening to It Takes a Parent, this is Betsy Hart from all of us saying thanks for listening. God bless you all.